Amen, dear saints. How we thank the Lord for the two previous sessions. And we continue on now with message three in God's economy in faith. And I would say, dear saints, that just as this general subject has not been touched before, this particular message is unique to us. And probably has not been presented in this kind of a way that I'm aware of. And just as the general subject might ask us to consider what kind of juncture are we at, such that the Lord would speak to us such words in a definite, particular way. And so also with this particular message, we're a particular people in a particular place here. On the earth, there may be few places that the world is more exemplified and intense than in Northern California, in certain places. I realize there's diversity, right? And in California as a whole, as one of the places in the United States where the busyness, the occupation, the involvements can entrap one. Even believers who very much love the Lord, and even those in the Lord's recovery who are given to Him, can easily be caught up. So what's needed, especially for those in the lower number of decades among us, or the younger ones among us, 20s, 30s, 40s. Surely the Lord needs to speak to us something that could, in the midst of a situation like this, in Northern California and Southern California and the United States and on the earth, speak to His recovery in a way that would bring us out of diverse involvements that cause us to miss God's economy. And He would show us God's economy in faith with a view that perhaps unrealizing or unaware saints whose years and decades are speeding by would be rescued out of the tide of dissipation, distraction, other involvements into God's economy, which is in faith. And so in this message we have three things. We have taking up the shield of faith.
Amen.
We have the preciousness of the proving of our faith. And we have the end of our faith, the salvation of our souls. So among us, perhaps, anyone sense that there's a resistance to them or spiritual resistance of any kind? Any kind of opposition? Well, we're in the midst of warfare. And the most precarious thing is to be in the midst of warfare and not recognize that a battle is raging. Anyone sense turbulence? Anyone sense disappointment, loss, trial? And among us, do we realize that we're in a position where we are faced with either experiencing the greatest possible disappointment and failure versus the greatest possible triumph and achievement. Well, so we have these three matters in our title, and we'll go through these now. The combination of which, I believe, is to do what I've implied, to revolutionize our situation, to give us a whole new paradigm shift, a whole new realization, a whole new look at things that could change our decades, our years, our days. Okay. Message 3. Taking up the shield of faith, experiencing the proving of our faith, and receiving the end of our faith, the salvation of our souls. Roman number 1. As members of the body of Christ engaged in warfare, quote, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenlies, we need to take up the shield of faith, Amen. With which we will be able to quench all the flaming darts of the evil one. The two verse references are quite illuminating. Ephesians 6:12 refers to the spiritual battle that is raging. It says, for our wrestling is not against flesh, blood, and flesh. It goes on to indicate who our opposers are. Evil forces in the heavenlies. The evil one. The placement of this verse here at the beginning of this message, this Roman numeral, indicates that the raging war is over our faith. What's at issue in the warfare is our faith. What will happen with our faith? Now, please remember that faith is not so simple. It has the components that have been developed in the last 2 meetings. Then in Ephesians 6:16, the second verse here, it says, besides these, referring to other elements of the armor of God, having taken up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the darts of the evil one. So this indicates that the combination of verses indicate that the spiritual warfare is over our faith and what will happen to it. And that our defense in the spiritual warfare is the shield, is our very faith, is the shield of faith. What we're talking about. Without this shield of faith, our point here in this Roman numeral is that we are subject to all kinds of the enemy's attacks and injuries and damages. Let's look at the subpoints. A, the shield of faith is not something that we put on, but something that we take up in order to protect ourselves against the attacks of the enemy and to quench all the flaming darts of the evil one. So the question here in this point is, what is the difference between taking up and putting on? In this context, the putting on is of the spiritual, is of the armor in general to protect us from the enemy in the spiritual warfare. So we put on the armor. But the shield, in particular, we take up. This points out that in the battle over our faith, vigilance, moment by moment vigilance, is what's important. When a warrior puts on the armor, the armor's on. He's got it on, he can realize he's covered and doesn't have to have moment by moment awareness of what's coming at him. He's got the armor there to protect him. But when you pick up a shield, it's because you realize there is a threat there. There's a weapon coming at you. And so you defend yourself with that shield. You hold up the shield as long as you need that defense. This implies that this matter of faith that we're talking about is not something that we deal with once a year, once a month, once a day. But we have to be ready and vigilant related to faith as defined, and as I will try to briefly refer to it, faith referring here in the presentation I'm going to give as our present active registration of the Lord's personal presence with us. I should say registration and appreciation of the Lord's presence with us. Do you have a sense that we're intended to have an ongoing, uninterrupted registration of the Lord's of appreciation of the Lord's preciousness? What do you think? This isn't a human thought. But eventually, faith in God's economy, which is in a realm of faith, involves an ongoing registration, perceptive registration, through our inner being, our heart, our person, focusing on and viewing the indwelling person in our spirit, who is our faith. This interaction, this dynamic is genuine, proper faith. And we can be a believer and have faith that is not genuine. Not that we're a false believer, not that we are failing in our faith, but because this dynamic either is not known to us or, now saints, it's known to us, needs to be developed, built up, until we live in God's economy in faith. So, firstly, we have point A that indicates we need to be vigilant moment by moment by taking up this shield of faith. B says, in contrast, we need to realize that faith is a shield placed between us and Satan. Faith is a shield placed between us and Satan. So we can. There's a visual component that comes to mind. But how does a believer have something of faith between he and the indwelling evil one who is resident in his own fallen tripartite being? How does faith get in there to protect you? This implies that our attention to the indwelling, all-precious person attended to by us, as we said yesterday, causes us, through our contact with him, to be in a realm of faith. And this realm of faith, as we said, realm here indicates a frame of living, a place of living. For the shield of faith to be between us and the enemy means we're in this realm of faith and circumferentially covered, protected by this faith, where no flaming darts can get through. This describes a realm, as we'll see. This describes we're not just that he's in us, but we're in him. And our being in him should not just be an abstract realization and recording of spiritual truth. It should be a registrable and perceptible experience and phenomenon to us. We are in the precious one. We are in faith. And God's economy now operates. He dispenses himself into us. He reveals himself to us because we're in this realm and we're resident there. So, point A and point B point out that on one hand, our contact with him has to be present right now. We're persons of what? Yesterday? No, we're persons of right now. And what does it mean to be a person right now? It means to be a person right now who is registering and appreciating his preciousness by which he is our faith, through our contact with him. And that as we do this, we now are in a situation and a setting where we can live this way. Now, are you following me? You got me? Okay. If this makes sense to you, and we see this, this is a vision, as we saw in Roman number 1, message 1, which should control us. What is the next step? The next step is for the more mature older saints and the younger saints to say, wow, my, this is my life. This is how I live. So, Lord, my prayer is, I want to live in faith. I want to live in this realm. And to set about to do it in, as our hymn said, 575, events large, small, startling, boring, whatever it is, we bring in, mobilize, install his personal presence. Our appreciation is active in that moment. So, can we live this way? Faith says we can only live this way. If we don't live this way, then as we'll see later, there can be a problem with our faith, a defect in our faith, a mixture in our faith. So, we want that to not be the case. So, subpoints under B say, one, faith is a safeguard against the flaming darts of the enemy, accusations, temptations, proposals, doubts, questionings, lies, snares, and attacks. These are the enemy's schemes referred to in 2 Corinthians 2:11. The shield of faith protects us from these murmurings of the indwelling evil one who can come and take on, who can shroud himself and make his thought seem to be ours. Seem to be ours. So, what's mentioned here in terms of, in our reading we had temptations are the first thing, right? Temptations, proposals. Now, if Satan makes a temptation, it's to draw you to something or somewhere, am I right? This implies he wants to draw you away from somewhere else and involve you otherwise. So, as those who are involved in the spiritual warfare, is that okay? No! And what swallows up that flaming dart? It's the registration. The present registration of personal presence through our contact with him as he indwells. Likewise, accusations, lies, other things mentioned here, what are they to do? They're to cause us to, what? Shrink back to ruin, Hebrews 10:39, and not receive the end of our faith, the salvation of our souls. So are we okay with that? No. What's our defense? The present registration and perception of his personal preciousness, of his preciousness with us in his personal presence with us. Do you agree? Amen. Is this your daily life? Do you see how this has potential to revolutionize us? It should revolutionize us. How can we have thoughts not pervaded by his personal, by his preciousness, by our appreciation of his preciousness? Can we not have that be the content of our thoughts? Well, this is a new consideration, right? semi-new. The ministry has said it again and again and again, but it takes time to sink in. This is the life of God's economy in faith. Two, Satan's flaming darts come as thoughts injected into our mind. These thoughts may seem to be our own, but they are thoughts coming from Satan. Three, when the darts come, they hit the shield. And we're able to quench the flaming darts of the evil one. What is the shield? Our present appreciation of his preciousness. Filling our thoughts. Satan has no way to initiate a thought. And if he does, ping, it doesn't get in. See, faith comes after truth, righteousness, and peace. And the subpoints, we need the truth to gird our loins, righteousness to cover our conscience, peace as the standing of our feet, and faith as the shield for our entire being. If we have truth in our living, righteousness as our covering, and peace as our standing, we will spontaneously have faith. Faith, the shield of faith, comes after truth, righteousness, and peace. In Ephesians 6, this sequence portrays the dynamic of faith that we've been talking about. What is truth? Truth is reality. What is reality? Reality, Hebrews 11:6, is our appreciation of the one who is real. And in that appreciation, wanting to please him. And so wanting to please him, we seek him. And so we come forward to him. And we contact him. When we contact him, we contact the one who is truth, who is real. And we become what? We persons of otherwise vanity and falsity become real. So what is it to put on truth in Ephesians 6? It is for us to be in the dynamic of faith in Hebrews 11:6. Then, once we're there, it's done. It's done. So righteousness then, and it says here that this reality is our living, right? C2. It's our living. As we live this way, we live a life of righteousness. Our conscience is covered. Our conscience is covered by the shield of faith, and we have righteousness, which in this case is subjective. Subjective righteousness, you'll remember from Revelation 19:7, is the preparatory embroidery of the wedding garment. It's the wedding garment in Matthew 22. And so, when we join to the one we appreciate, 11:6, as our reality in our living, then we put on a garment of righteousness, which is our wedding garment. Then peace follows. Peace is our standing, indicating that we stand on peace. And peace, of course, as you know, indicates in John 16 and in Luke chapter 7, peace indicates a realm. So by appreciating the one who is real and now indwells us and contacting him, we have reality and truth. As a result, we, according to him, register subjective righteousness. Remember, Revelation 19:7, and stand in peace. So we have a living, we have a covering, we have a footing. What does this imply? This implies that we're enfolded in faith. We're enfolded by the shield of faith. This enfolding by the shield of faith is to be in the realm of faith. And this shield of faith, which is the realm of faith that we're in, is between now, us and the enemy. John 12:31, he has no ground, no place, no opportunity, no hope in anything because of that. This is when we're in this frame, the spiritual warfare is won. We hold our ground. We hold the position of victory. So, now, you might say, brother, what are you talking about? This seems very abstract to me. Could you make this more practical? Well, remember that if something is easily understood and concrete, it may not be divine fully. I mean, if we understand easily, it at least has to have the aspect of being profound, right? But in this case, although it's abstract, this matter of faith that is almost indescribable, that's so great that when Martin Luther discovered justification by faith, it revolutionized the earth. This great, great matter comes down to, are you willing to hold and adhere and treasure his preciousness through your cultivated and developing appreciation of him to the point that that appreciation enters into your thoughts, your motives, your decisions, your everything in your daily living? Then, what kind of life do we have? We have a life of God's economy in faith, a life in reality with righteousness and peace in the realm of faith. So, how do we fight the spiritual warfare? We contact the one we love, the precious indwelling one, and cause that to be the basic ingredient of our living, of our aspirations, of our determinations, and of what we live out. Okay, so that's the first thing. Is that enough to bring us into God's economy and faith in the midst of Northern California? Amen. I believe it is. As we determine to close, as we determine, number one, to see this. And number two, determine that we will close the gap between what we see and what we experience, which is the only reasonable and proper response to this governing vision. Now, a wonderful section here. Roman numeral 2, 1 Peter 1:7 speaks of the proving of our faith. Now, in Roman numeral 1, I hope I left the impression that the flaming darts that are coming our way in spiritual warfare are not just occasional, not just once in a while. They're ongoing. And a thought doesn't have to be sordid, ugly, sinful to be a flaming dart. A pleasant thought, an apparently good intention, These things are included in the flaming darts. I believe your thoughts come to you not just once in a while that you have a thought, right? You have thoughts fairly frequently. In your waking hours and even when you're asleep probably, you have thoughts continuously. When are these thoughts not flaming darts? They are not flaming darts when they are adorned with your appreciation of the precious indwelling person of faith. So you see, we're talking about our living now. So, can we live this way? Remember this morning, what is impossible with man is possible with God as the processed, indwelling, precious one. Can you imagine what this would do? Can you imagine a person being down and out if this is their life? Can you imagine a marital problem if this is... Can you imagine a marriage which is just not outwardly troubled but not so satisfactory? Can you imagine? Okay. God is speaking to us. God is speaking to us regarding his desire that we enter into his economy, which is in faith. And he would like to have us respond to him. And this involves our care for the spiritual warfare in which the enemy will do anything to keep us from our contact with the indwelling precious Christ. Okay, in that same vein, keep this as a background, please. There's such a thing as trials. Trials. Unfamiliar word, right? Trials. Probably very few of us have trials. Of course, we all have very challenging and sometimes heartbreaking trials. 1 Peter 1:7 says, so that the proving of your faith, here the crucial phrase is the proving of your faith, much more precious than of gold which perishes, though it is proved by fire, may be found unto praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay. A says, the proving of faith is testing for approval. The Greek word rendered proving means testing for approval. In my notes here, later on, there's reference to the fact that a student is evaluated in his studies based upon examinations. And until you do an examination, you don't know the quality of the student's study. So trials in the life of a believer in the Lord's recovery are the examinations to see how well we study. What is our study? Our study is for us to live in God's economy and faith. Our study is for us in the details of our in the continuous sequence of the details of our daily living to be in God's economy and faith in which nothing happens apart from our experiential, activated, organic union with Him. So we're in the best course. We're students in the best curriculum. And our curriculum is God's economy and faith. And we have ongoing, moment-by-moment pop quizzes. And those pop quizzes, oh, how good it would be if we did. But this is to bring into your consciousness. This is what really is going on. In 1 Peter 1:6, it says, even though at the present time you're suffering various trials, then remember the next phrase, if it must be. Do you know why you have trials? Or one reason you have the quality of trials or the magnitude of trials you have? It's because you don't have pop quizzes. It's because moment by moment, I was just noticing I was reading my clock backwards and I thought I had a lot of time and I don't. Thank you, Ken. Okay. So, when we, in a situation, are touching Him and bring Him into that situation, if we were having a pop test at that time, we would pass. Be helpful. We could have all kinds of reminders. But when you have an unexpected trial, it should be a reminder to you, oh, would have been good if you'd had some pop quizzes. You may need something to prove the preciousness of your faith, to prove your faith. Okay, I'm going to try to proceed quickly here. B says, we are put into trials because our faith needs to be tested and approved. C, no one who has believed in the Lord and has received grace can avoid the testing of faith. So these verses show that we are to live a life. We have entered into eternal life, and our life should be of a certain quality. We have grace upon grace. This needs to be tested. D says, the Bible shows that there is no faith without testing. All faith must be tested. So here in this point D and in the next point E, we see it's possible to have faith that is ingenuine as a believer, and have faith that is improper. You see this in point E. I would suggest that this is when a genuine believer who has the Lord indwelling them, indwelling their spirit in organic union with them, but lives oblivious to that organic union without contact with Him, has faith, but that faith is not present, current, updated, activated. And so there's a sense in which it's not so proper or genuine. One, God tests our faith in order that we may grow in faith and in life. So it's as we, through our trials and tests, do contact Him, He's able to dispense Himself into us. We have resulting growth, and this growth is optimized by this testing. A, it is genuine faith that satisfies God. Satisfies Him because He would like us to have ongoing experiential contact with Him. B, a faith that is approved is a glory to God's name. One, God's name is glorified in this world through an approved faith. So when we pass through trials, and those trials either confirm that we're in our experiential union with him or bring us into that union, then that trial glorifies him. E says, the approval of faith comes out of the proper faith. The stress here is not on faith, but on the proving of faith by trials that come through sufferings. So these trials, these sufferings are precious because they help us to know where we are in relation to the indwelling one who is our faith. F, in verse 7, Peter says that the proving of our faith is much more precious than of gold which perishes, though it is proved by fire. G says, it is the trying, the proving of faith, not the faith itself, that may be found unto praise. Okay, since because of my miscalculation of time, I'm going to just point out that the trials involve the experiential and situational discovery of where we are in relation to the indwelling one of faith. And the trials that help us to realize that we're errant, that we're away, and that strengthen our organic union with him, those trials become very exceedingly precious. Point 3 says, the proving of our faith is found unto praise, glory, and honor as it results in the receiving of the end of our faith, the salvation of our souls. 1 Peter 1:9. I'll summarize here that our spirit was saved at the time of our regeneration. Our body will be saved at the time of our rapture and transfiguration. But our soul will be saved at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And the revelation of Jesus Christ is his ultimate, our meeting with him in his parousia. But the revelation of Jesus Christ refers back to these same trials, these same daily circumstances where he's there within our being, but he's veiled. Our present faith takes away the veil, reveals him to us as the one of personal preciousness, and saves our soul at that point. When we live this way, eventually, at the end of this age, at the time of the Lord's appearing, our soul, having lived this way, will be brought into the joy of the Lord. And our soul will be saved from all kinds of other involvements and all kinds of sufferings. But the way we have our soul saved at that time is to lose enjoyments other than him as faith in our organic union with him today. So let me stop there and I look to you, saints, for your speaking to round out what I wasn't able to touch on in the last two Roman numerals. And I apologize for misallocating my time.
Praise the Lord for such a wonderful word. We ask the saints from the Central Valley. Which Central Valley, we go all the way from Reading to Tulare. And all the way we reach over to Reno. So the saints from the Central Valley can come up now. And please pay attention to the piano when it sounds.
Amen, saints. The proving of our faith involves our daily living. And how we get through these pop quizzes is not to be sorrowful in the midst of these fiery ordeals, but to rejoice. Because 1 Peter 1:8 tells us, yet believing, we exult with joy unspeakable. And so the result of our faith comes to an end. What does this end look like? It can end in the greatest disappointment, or it can end in the greatest triumph.
Right.
I believe we all want to end in the greatest triumph.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. But the way we get there is to turn to Him. Look away from these fiery ordeals, from this process of proving, to the author and perfecter of our faith, that we can see Him, we can look at Him, not our problems. I believe this conference, we're not walking around with our problems. We're walking around with smiles, with shiny faces.
Amen.
We're rejoicing, saints.
Amen.
And this is how we can enter into the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
1 Peter 4:13 tells us, rejoice. Speaking of being in the midst of these fiery trials, rejoice so that you can rejoice exultantly at the coming, at the revelation of His glory.
Right.
So
Amen.
What do we do at the end? Our goal is to rejoice, to enter into the joy of our Master. How do we get there? Rejoice your way there.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Today the Lord is hidden, but at His revelation, He will be manifested. But today is the age of faith, where we do not have the Lord's physical manifestation. But He is satisfied. He is satisfied when our faith is proved. And at His revelation, the proving of our faith will result in glory, praise, and honor.
Amen.
Brother and sister, I'm so encouraged that we had this message to go through together. Don't you think? We are people full of hope and encouragement.
Amen.
I'm reminded of the song by Watch Me, Trials More Bitter Grow, The Fighting Doth Enlarge. Don't you sense a little bit about that in this world today, and perhaps in your personal life? But saints, we are near the end. There's an end to our faith, the salvation of our souls. So this is the time, wherever we are, to take up the shield of faith, this living appreciation, where we have faith in God. We have faith in God's ability. We have faith in God's sovereignty. We have faith in God's heart. Praise the Lord. Saints, let's all make it to the end.
Amen.
And praise the Lord, if we see and sense any of the members of the body whose faith is failing, we could take up the armor.
Amen.
And we could take up this shield.
Amen.
To protect them from the fiery darts. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Our faith is a shield that is between us and Satan.
Amen.
Amen. And the shield of faith has several aspects.
Yes.
The faith in God, faith in God's heart,
Amen.
Faith in God's faithfulness,
yes.
Faith in God's ability, faith in God's word, faith in God's will,
Amen.
And faith in God's sovereignty.
Right.
Amen. Amen. I wanted to talk about faith in God's ability and sovereignty.
Right.
God is able to do super abundantly above all that we ask or think.
Amen.
And this especially toward the church.
Yes.
So God is able to do what we ask and think regarding the church.
Right.
But He's able to do even super abundantly above what we ask and think. Also, God is sovereign, and we should have faith in God's sovereignty.
Amen.
And this is a protection because the enemy wants to attack us. You know, when we make a mistake, he wants to accuse us. But if we do make a mistake, we need to realize that God can never make a mistake.
Amen.
If we make a mistake, that is also under God's sovereignty. And so if we were wrong, we should repent of our wrongdoing, our shortcoming.
Amen.
And we should not regret. But we should trust in God's sovereignty.
Amen. We should trust in God's sovereignty. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord for the shield of faith.
Amen.
Saints, I was really touched again in this message that we are really in a warfare. That we, this, especially in Northern California, in this age, this time that we're in a spiritual warfare. But praise the Lord, we're in the body of Christ.
Amen.
Right? This whole armor of God in Ephesians is for the whole body of Christ, right?
Amen.
So even our taking up of the shield of faith is a corporate matter, right? Praise the Lord, we do have this shield. And, Satan is always attacking us, and particularly attacks our mind, right? So we wake up in the morning and our mind is full of all kinds of thoughts, right? But praise the Lord, we can take the shield of faith. And I appreciate our brother keeps bringing us back to the precious person of Christ.
Amen.
Because actually that equals our faith, right?
Amen.
The more we appreciate and experience and enjoy this person, the more we have faith, right?
Amen.
And then I appreciate in day two, which I think we all did, there's all these aspects of faith. Faith in God's heart toward us, right?
Amen.
His heart toward us is always good.
Amen.
Satan is always accusing, always making us feel like we're a total failure. And in one sense, we are. But in another sense, God loves us, right?
Amen.
God is always for us, right? And he is faithful, and I appreciate what our brother just shared. He is sovereign. So even though sometimes we make mistakes, even our mistakes are sovereign and can be used by the Lord.
Amen.
So praise the Lord for the shield of faith.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, saints. First Peter talks about the proving of our faith. And it got me thinking, proving to who? Proving to who? God doesn't need proof. He is all-knowing. He can see into our hearts. He knows how genuine our faith is or how ingenuine it is. He doesn't need the proving. So who does? I say it's us. We do. And I'm reminded of the verse in Exodus. The blood on the door shall be a sign to you. It's not a sign to the angel of death. It's a sign to us. We have testing so that we can see God's sovereignty. When we see God's sovereignty, we see God. And the verse says, no one can see God and live. I always thought that was a threat. Brothers and sisters, that's a promise.
Amen.
When we see God, we can die.
Amen.
We can lose our soul life.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Yes, today, we need to lose our soul life.
Amen.
Matthew 25:21. Well done, good and faithful slave. You are faithful over a few things. I will set you over many things.
Amen.
Enter into joy of your master.
Amen.
So if we will lose our soul life today, we will gain it in the coming age.
Amen.
So what is our soul like? What is our soul enjoyment today? For example, gold bar and dollar bill can meet temporary need, our clothing, food, housing, and transportation.
Right.
But they cannot provide eternal satisfaction. Amusement and entertainment can give us temporary happiness, but they cannot give us spirit lasting joy. So we need to pay the price today, and then we can enter into the joy of the Master in coming age.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Take up the shield of faith.
Amen.
What is the shield of faith? A couple of brothers already shared. There's seven aspects. Number one, faith in God. Our God is almighty. His love, his light, his righteousness, his holiness. So he is our shield of faith. Number two is what? God's heart. The Bible said, if God is for us, who can against us?
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, God is for us.
Amen.
That is the shield of faith.
Amen.
Number three is his ability. God is faithful.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Number four, he's faithful. Amen. He's not only able, he's faithful. Amen. Number five is he's the word. Whatever he said, it will be done. Praise the Lord. Number six is the will. Number seven is the
sovereignty.
Sovereignty. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for the trials and tribulations. I don't think I'd ever say that again before. But praise the Lord for trials and tribulations. Through this we can grow in life. We need our mind renewed, you know. You know, when the trials and tribulations come, that's when we need the shield. Because the Satan is there right there to change the word of God and say, no, he's punishing you. He's dealing with you. You're no good. That's why the trials are coming. No, that's not true. The reason we have these trials, we're made sorrowful by various trials, is so that the proving of our faith would be found unto praise, glory, and honor. Amen. That at the coming of the Lord Jesus, we would get this crown, right? Amen. This we would gain our soul life at that time, right? Which is the salvation of our souls. But anyway, I just really enjoy this that our brother said. He says, trials show us where we are at. But you know one good thing about the trials? It shows us where we're at. Don't be discouraged, because that's the time to turn to the Lord and gain the Lord. I got COVID last year, and I had that trial, and I could only say, Lord Jesus, not now. Lord, not now. But I didn't want to go then. I was not ready. But you know what? Praise the Lord. We can gain Christ in every situation. Amen. Hallelujah for the trials and tribulations. Amen. We're growing in life and in faith.
Amen. Amen. This raging war is for our faith. And we must be those who are continually and moment by moment and consistently taking up our shield of faith. Amen. And how do we take up this shield? Well, it is by our active registration and appreciation of the preciousness of this person. Amen. And who is this person? He is the true one. He is the real one. And when we enter into this realm, when we take up our shield, we are protected by the flaming darts of the enemy. And then these flaming darts, these accusations, these temptations, these murmurings are made void, they're annulled, they're destroyed. I just appreciate that that all of these are quenched. And whenever we have a doubt, whenever we have an accusation, like even coming up here, you know, it's like the enemy's telling you, like, hey, don't go up, you're not ready, or whatever. It's like you can actually just turn to the Lord. Just Amen. Practically just, you know, just proclaiming Christ is on the throne. Something like that, and we enter into this realm. Amen.
Amen. Saints, I've just been so encouraged this weekend to have a life by faith. But I definitely feel this message is a balancing word, because we see we're in the midst of a warfare. And I think what I appreciated from this message is just to see Peter says that these various trials and sufferings that we go through, they shouldn't be strange to us. And I think Brother Rick made it pretty clear that we all go through trials. But these trials aren't just so that, I mean, they happen to us, but they're for the proving of our faith, which is much more precious than of gold. And we just see that the emphasis here is not on the trials themselves or the sufferings, but it's not even on the faith, but it's on the proving of faith, that our faith would be found approved at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And this just made me think of, I just appreciated, Lord, like, as we're going through all these trials and tribulations, we should have what Brother Rick said, this present, active registration of the Lord's presence. We have this appreciation of his precious person.
Amen. That sister took my point. I guess I can sit down now. 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, do not think that the fiery ordeal among you coming to you for a trial is strange, as if it were a strange thing happening to you. So the brothers shared in this message that we're under the government of God. God loves us. We're the beloved. So God loves us, and the only way that he's going to prove us to become righteous is through these trials. And these trials are going to cause us to grow. Hallelujah. Rich, you grew when you had COVID. Did you know that? So that's such a wonderful thing. But we're in a loving family. The Lord loves us. He wants us to be his match, his bridegroom. This is part of being perfected. These trials are part of being perfected. And then one other point that's great is that the Lord knows exactly where in us he needs to touch. Don't think you know where to touch something, because the Lord knows anywhere you need to be touched. But hallelujah, from it we grow.
Saints, we are students of the best curriculum, which is God's economy by faith. Whether we constantly have pop quizzes or unexpected trials coming up, all of these things are there to remind us to touch him and bring him into all of our situations. This also helps us understand our status and how we're doing with the indwelling, precious person of Christ. God wants us to have ongoing, continuous contact with him. And for our faith to be approved by him, faith must be present, current, and activated, so it's proper before God. And all of these pop quizzes and trials are for our growth, and our growth is optimized by these tests.
Amen. Amen. So that the proving of our faith, much more precious than of gold. Saints, we're seeing again and again in all the speaking that it's so precious, and I appreciated what our brother Rick shared, because it strengthens our union with the precious one. This was very enlightening today. And so we saw in this portion, our examination, not our studying, is proved to see how well we live in God's economy and faith, enjoying his preciousness. I've been in academia for 22 years, and I want to tell you what strikes fear in the heart of students: an exam. And our brother also said pop quizzes. He was exactly right on that. Students are like, okay, when is a pop quiz? Sorry, we can't tell you. You have to be ready. But I thought something so enlightening is our Father's heart in this. You know, I never gave an exam in 22 years to fail somebody. Our Father never gives an exam to fail. Saints, it's testing for approval. Sorry, ran out of time.
Amen. We have this very precious Christ within us. Amen. This most precious one is in us, but he's somewhat obscured by our natural man, somewhat hidden by us. But praise the Lord, we have these trials, we have these pop quizzes, and this gives us the opportunity to unveil this precious Christ within us. Amen. He is so precious, but hidden within us. But these trials give us the opportunity to turn to him, to unveil him. And when we turn to him and unveil him, we are reduced, our faith grows, and Christ is expressed. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Yes, faith is a shield placed between us and Satan. Amen. And this question, how can there be a shield between us and Satan, an enemy who's in us? And I was so touched that this shield is not a thing. The shield is a person,
yes.
A living person. When we enter into this realm, when we enter into this organic union with this person, and the darts come, they hit the shield.
Amen.
They hit this person.
Yes.
And we're able to quench all the flaming darts of the evil one.
Yes.
And Satan will do anything to keep us away from our contact with God. Why? Because every time when we contact God, oh, he becomes our shield and our defender.
Amen.
Amen.
And Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Whenever we go through these trials and tribulations, amen, it forces us to have faith and trust in God.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, amen. We have to remember that we should always have faith in God's heart. He doesn't have, his heart is always good towards us.
Amen.
Amen. We always have to remember that. And no matter what our sufferings we may experience, we should always remember that God's heart is always good for us.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In this message, the Lord spoke to us through our brother in a way that he desires to bring us out of our diverse involvements to see something concerning God's economy and faith. This is because the Lord's recovery is a recovery from those things that are seen to the things that are unseen. So we need to have a whole new paradigm shift in the Lord's recovery that would revolutionize us and change us in the midst of an intense spiritual warfare, which we find ourselves in, so that when the Lord returns, he would find faith on the earth.
Amen.
This is a warfare over our faith and what will happen to our faith. This is why we need the shield of faith in our daily living. This shield of faith is not a thing, but a wonderful, marvelous, and most excellent person in our experience and appreciation. Our brother mentioned this a number of times, but in our experience, we need to be vigilant and ready. We need to be those who live in a present, active, and ongoing, perceptive registration and appreciation of the Lord's precious and indwelling presence with us.
Amen. Amen. Saints, it's appropriate that I'm here at the end of the testimonies because I have a new song for you. No surprise. Amen. But it's from the very last verse in the Bible, Revelation 22:21. And it says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen." So how do we obtain this grace? Well, the secret is in Romans 5:2. It says, "Through whom also we have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand and boast because of the hope of the glory of God." So anyway, it goes like this. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen. Be with all the saints. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. This outline, a particular point, kind of touched me. Romans 3, C1b. We will either lose our soul life today, gain it in the coming age, or save our soul life today and lose in the coming age. When I read that, it kind of blinking me. The Lord does not give us multiple choice. It's a yes and no. That's not a third choice. Amen. We used to consider like the grade they gave in school here. I don't get an A, maybe I can get a B or C. I'm probably not going to get an F. But sorry, God does not give us a multiple choice here. Either you are an overcomer, otherwise you are defeated. I feel a lot of time we are not serious about it. What's the result to be defeated? 1,000 years, lose your soul life. The suffering is like going through fire. It will be more than 10 times you suffer today. I just feel like we need to be serious. We're not going to say, yeah, possibly I may graduate. I wish I graduate. We should say, Lord, I must be an overcomer.
Amen.
It's not I wish to be an overcomer. I have to have the determination. I must be an overcomer.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, saints. I just have a few things to reiterate. We take up the shield of faith to protect ourselves from Satan's flaming darts. When we have these thoughts, we say, Lord, I am fallen, but I am under your cleansing.
Amen.
Man, and we need to have full faith in God, in his heart, faithfulness, ability, word, will, and sovereignty. Amen. And if our faith is never tested, then we will not have the opportunity to grow in that faith. Amen. And lastly, we need to deny ourselves and sacrifice our soul life so that later when God or when the Lord returns, he will give us the reward of enjoying our soul in the millennial kingdom with him. Praise the Lord, saints. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, saints. I'm standing here because of this brother right here who said that and his stood up, said that Satan was don't want you to get up here and speak because Satan doesn't want us to speak. He doesn't want us to speak God's truth. The recovery is all about recovering what the Lord is doing to bring in the end of this age, to produce the bride. And I just feel that the shield, taking up the shield of faith, I just feel that this message is the highest message that we can receive. Because the Lord is producing the overcomers, and the losing of our soul life is the gaining of him, that he is being expressed. He's the living one in us. And I just feel that we are so blessed to be here. We are the blessed people on this earth. And I'm just so thankful. I'm just so thankful because the Lord is producing the overcomers. And my desire is to be an overcomer. And I believe that by denying my soul life and just taking up the shield of faith and continually, I haven't arrived yet, but I'm on my way. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 6, we see the flaming darts. Also that in 1 Peter 1, we see that the fire. Fire and flaming darts, they are really external to us. Since we're here, you know, went through all these external things for things that we saw that we have faith. So may the Lord really open our eyes to see when we go through these external things that we really have some faith deposit in us. Amen. You know, this Friday, we will try to be here a little bit earlier, but, you know, our tire, you know, blown up. It's just a miserable situation that, you know, with the temperature outside over 100. But praise the Lord that four people in our car never say anything, never complain. They are just accepting this fact that our tire, you know, one of the tires blown up. So we went through all this gyration, and finally we got this fixed. This just to prove that two things. Number one, the tire couldn't resist the temperature, and when the rubber hit the road, the tire blew up. So since this is our caution that we need to know. And another thing is good to know that since in the car, we're all very calm. We all accept this fact that the Lord, you have your purpose in us, that we don't have any problem. We just accept this. Praise the Lord.
In the world, people say happiness is love. Happiness is $1 million. But tonight, we have a crazy brother to tell you, happiness is suffering. Happiness is trial. Can you believe this? And a whole bunch of brothers and sisters say, amen. Wow, they must have eaten something very strange. They must have seen something very strange. And this most strange thing is God is our food.
Amen.
The very thing that we have seen, the best vision in the whole world is Christ is our captain of salvation.
Amen.
Therefore, we can all say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, when you see God, then you appreciate him with all the rest of your life. Amen. This faith will lead you into the full salvation of your Christian life until you become the overcomer too. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord that we have the Lord as our shield of faith.
Amen.
I really appreciate that the Lord protects us and strengthens us to press on with whatever situation we go through. You know, one way I found it really helpful to overcome the flaming darts of the enemy, especially in this age, is by in Hebrews 12:2, looking away unto Jesus. You know, I realized that whatever is going on outwardly, I can always turn to the wonderful, precious person of Christ dwelling inside of me.
Hi, Saints. I'm actually from the South Bay, but I figured I would be forgiven if I spoke last. But I really appreciated this subject of the shield of our faith. And actually, I kind of pondered, like, you know, we have these trials and tribulations, and I think we're very fortunate, or at least I'm very fortunate, to be in a country where we're not persecuted as heavily for being Christian. But we still have our own persecutions, trials and tribulations, be it academically, professionally, or impersonally. And, you know, whenever these trials and tribulations come, I think we all have an instance we can remember back to where the Lord has been with us, where we can recall, you know, even if the Lord maybe didn't deliver us, you know, directly, we can always recall that time when he was with us and we were strengthened because of his presence. Amen. I'm so fortunate to actually have my parents where if I encounter such trials and tribulations, I can tell them, and they would actually reply back with the verse, you know, my...
my parents as you remind me. 1 Samuel 17:37. And David said, Jehovah, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Because David had such prior experiences where he has gone against such foes, but the Lord has delivered him, he could have such faith. And whenever I also encounter such trials and tribulations, though it would be like Goliath to me, I would say, with the Lord behind me, this one is like a grasshopper to me. Amen. I also really just enjoy it. Maybe I can just say one more verse. It's always something that I remember back to. It is from Joshua. It says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and take courage. For Jehovah your God will be with you wherever you go. Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Be strong. Amen. Take courage. Amen. Jehovah will be with us.
Amen.
Just give a short concluding word here. I very much appreciate this message, particularly the first two matters here, taking up the shield of faith and experiencing the proving of our faith. Actually, regarding everything in this message, it really requires us to be transferred into the realm of faith. Otherwise, it's just some knowledge that's not so real to us. So I hope all of us will exercise our spirit right now in our listening. Why do we need to make this transfer? Because if we are not in this realm of faith, nothing here is real. You know, in the beginning of Brother Rick's sharing, he says that there's a raging warfare that's going on, attacking our faith. I don't know. If you're not in this realm, what warfare? Yeah, I suffer a little bit, but everybody else also does. It's going through things. How do we know this is a spiritual warfare? Well, if we just exercise our spirit to enter into this realm, we will see there really is a raging warfare. You know, and this warfare is not just between God and his enemy, Satan. This enemy, Satan, is also our enemy. Last week when we were going through these messages, I think that was the first time I realized Satan hates us. I knew that, but it wasn't that real. He hates us. He's not just a prankster who designs the little obstacles, traps, snare to trip you up and just have a good laugh. Actually, he wants to kill us. We are a threat to him. Why? Because for the fulfillment of God's economy, God needs us to give our full cooperation. So if we are not vigilant, we are not in, first of all, not in this realm, we don't even see what's going on. So the other thing, one more thing. I was freshly touched by this verse in John 10:10. You know, most of the time we are familiar with the second part, right? The Lord telling us why he came. He says, I come that they may have life and may have it abundantly. But the first part of the verse says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Of course, according to context here, thief is referring to these religionists, these Jews, Pharisees, who are zealous for the law. But behind them is this enemy, Satan. And what does he want to do? To steal. Steal us away from God's presence. To steal away our enjoyment of Christ. And he's out there not just to kill, but utterly destroy. And tonight we found out our faith. Our faith. So saints, let's exercise our spirit and ask the Lord to unveil us regarding this matter. The other matter, I was very much touched. This just last week, just pray reading over this verse, Ephesians 6:16. As I was pray reading, which I never really pay attention to the words, flaming darts. I don't know. I may read the words flaming darts. Yeah, I've even mouthed the words flaming darts, but somehow in my mind, there's a filter there. Somehow I think it's flaming javelin or an arrow. No, actually, what the enemy is hurling at us are these darts, small. It's not this air-to-surface missile. You know, even if it doesn't strike, sometimes you just have this feeling that you will just be crushed under the weight of the missile, you know. No, actually, it's what caused you to die, to suffer. It's not the impact of these darts, but the flaming darts. The flaming darts. Because Satan's way is to inject these little things, subtle thoughts. I appreciate these words, accusations. Maybe it's not even a heavy-duty accusation. Just a little word. I think that brother's attitude is a little bit off. And then you contemplate over that. You entertain that thought. Eventually, it becomes a forest fire. Just consumes our being. You laugh because that's part of your experience. It's mine too, you know? Temptations, proposals, doubt. Is that really according to the word, you know? So you begin to have these thoughts. And next thing you know, everything leaks out. It's a flaming dart. So I appreciate tonight's brother Rick's word of needing to be vigilant, remaining in this realm. But more particularly, I like the utterance. I wasn't as fast as the other brother who took notes. I just took down generally dwelling in the present appreciation of his precious person. How do we be vigilant? It's not try to examine, is that my thought there or is that Satan injection? It's not that. Just remain with the Lord. Amen. Remain with the Lord. When that appreciation still remains, you realize there's a little turbulence there. There's an interruption. The linking flight, there is no linking anymore. We're not linked to the precious person. And right away, we need to call on the Lord. And take up the shield of faith. And I appreciate Brother Ron's word here. When he gave this message, he says, the only way I know of taking up the shield of faith is by praying in the spirit of the body. To realize that the enemy is hurling flaming darts at certain parts of our being. especially our mind. So prayer, not religious prayers, but just a little conversation. Lord, I sense that there's an interruption in my relationship with you. Why do I feel this way regarding the situation? If we just have that little prayer, the Lord will shine, will begin to expose the enemy behind that thoughts, behind that feelings. And I also appreciate this, what Brother Ron shared here, praying in the spirit of the body. You know, to take up the shield of faith, it's not an individual matter. We have to be in the body in order to be shielded. How do we do that? Well, practically speaking, we need to be in the proper, in a proper relationship with all the members of the body. This word here, if we are not one with the body, do not know the body, and are not living in the body, we may try to take up the shield of faith in an individualistic way. It does not work. It doesn't work. So the body is involved. Okay, so now the second Roman numeral, this matter of proving of our faith, many of the sayings have touched on this point. So I'll just, but I just want to mention something very quickly here. You know, faith is precious because it can withstand all kinds of sufferings, tests, and trials. But this faith needs to be proved because God, what does it say? God appreciates a genuine faith, right? It is only our genuine faith that will satisfy him. So this word prove also means to refine. Every time we go through these situations with the Lord, our faith gets refined. All the impurity, mixtures, things that are natural are purged away. You know, Peter went through such trials. You know, he was zealous. I'm for you, Lord. But that was from a natural source. That was a natural zeal. So because of that, he experienced a little test, a little pop quiz. But when he turned, the Lord was there to restore him. So anyway, so I just appreciate what Brother Rich shared. We need to have a renewed mind. When we go through things, instead of complaining or asking questions, what's going on? Well, it's our loving Father helping us, purifying us, proving our faith for his own satisfaction. So we can receive the end of our faith, faith, the salvation of our souls. Praise the Lord. So now we will have some special report from Reno. Hope you're ready.